This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
On this episode of the Live Feed, we continue our coverage of Midwest Music Fest 2013 with The Big Woo. The Big Woo is a Minnesota-based rock and roll jam band with humble origins in St. Olaf College in 1992 that has since then achieved national success. Adam Lush sits down with bassist Andy Miller and explores the band's history and future. You are listening to the Live Feed.
This is Adam Lush, and you're listening to the Live Feed. Right now, I am with Andy from The Big Woo, and we're going to get another full introduction and what he does in the band.
Hey, this is Padre, a.k.a. Andy. I'm a bass player in the band. Sometimes I ruin some vocals. And I am here with the rest of the band who are solving really difficult crossword puzzles. I think Mark Grundhoffer, guitar player, is going to join us. But Chris Castiano on guitar and Al Wickery on keyboards and Terry Vanderwalker on drums, they're looking for the four-letter word for copulation.
All right, so you guys have been around for a long time, and just kind of wondering what the origin story of your band is, and how did you guys meet for the first time?
I'll tell you, I saw the first Big Woo gig. I wasn't actually in the band. It was in Northfield, Minnesota. We came from St. Olaf College, and it was on Valentine's Day in 1992, and my girlfriend at the time, her apartment was like across the wall from the club that folks would play, and she was back in Korea, and so I had nothing to do except, you know, go check out what the noise was on the other, you know, other side of the wall, and there's the first Big Woo gig. There's I think there's two drummers. Chris Castiano was, you know, the guitar player, was playing bass. You know, there's a bunch of guys that aren't in the band anymore. And but I was there at the very first Big Woo gig, and I remember having a drink and thinking, like, I think there's a little something about a couple of these guys that, you know, that's kind of good. That was 1992, and I didn't join until 95. This is the same week that I actually started going to St. Olaf College.
Okay, so how did you go about approaching them? Did you ask them, or were they just looking for a bassist?
Later on that year, in 1992, I just had a band with some guys around in town, Northfield, Minnesota, where St. Olaf is, in small town, so you can't really pick your musicians. It's like a small town. It's like, you do this, you do this. All right, great. We're all going to do it together. And I had a drummer and a guitar player, and I played bass, and had another dude. And what we were doing was we would just be kind of like be your karaoke machine. You come up, you pick a tune, you sing a tune, we'll buy you a drink. And this little short guy with a shaved head came up, and he just like ripped off his shirt, grabbed a mic. We want to play Foxy Lady, so we started playing Jimi Hendrix Foxy Lady, and this dude just grabbed the mic and he was just tearing it up. I was just jumping around the stage, and he's a great singer, just excellent singer. It's completely entertaining, and I barely got his name. You know, I was like, "What's your name?" Like, Terry Venner. And the next day, I went up to St. Olaf College, and I started looking on their mailboxes, trying to figure out, you know, there's a couple thousand students who are, you know, trying to find this Terry Vander, blah, 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 blah. And so basically, I found him. I found where he lives, and I went right to his dorm room. I knocked on his door. He opened it up. I'm like, I want to be in a band with you. And, you know, the Big Woo really wasn't, you know, anything, you know, it was just like a college idea at this point, to play some, you know, Denton, Grateful Dead, some Allman Brothers, stuff like that. And I grabbed Terry, and we just started like joking around, playing a little bit of music together, but nothing serious. Then when I started in St. Olaf in 1995, at that time the bass player and the keyboard player, they graduated, and so, you know, and they moved up to Minneapolis. They weren't exactly looking forward to driving back down to Northfield for band practice for, you know, a little college band. But I had a music studio right downtown where we could rehearse. So I jumped in. You know, the guy just, Andy Eklund, great guy, great bass player. just, he was moving on with his life. And so I just kind of filled that vacuum. So that's how I got into it. You know, and that was kind of the formulation of the band at that time. That was like how the band lineup was pretty set. Terry on drums, Chris and Jason on guitar. And we didn't have a keyboard player because he's one of the brothers who was moving on with his life. And then I was playing bass. I was filling in for his brother. And within a year, we got Al Oakley on keyboards. And that's the big move that, you know, that went forth, was the five of us. Chris, Terry, me, Al.
You call us Big Woo? We're going to play some El Musico for you, which is Spanish for music.
Thank you.
Just like
looks like shines so bright. Now you're back at my door. So it shall be.
Listening to the live feed at our coverage of the Midwest Music Fest 2013. We now go back to Adam's interview with the Big Woo.
All right, was there any specific moment when you felt like you had accomplished what you wanted to, when you knew that you were going places with the band?
Yes. Specifically, 1997, we were part of the Battle of Bands at First Avenue. And I'd seen a million shows at First Avenue. It was, you know, that place, that's the club. And the cool part about First Avenue is they always have a movie screen that's down in front of the stage until the band starts, and the movie screen goes up. And I specifically remember that movie screen going up, and the big one was hitting in the cities. And went up, and it was just all Wu fans, and they were just going nuts. And we pulled the upset. Grizzly Mail already had like the Horde tour dates on the website. And we pulled the upset, we won the thing, and so we did Horde at Summerfest, Horde at Alpine Valley, and then we did a third show out in New York, out of Vernon Downs, a racetrack. And I specifically remember, though, man, when we won that Battle of the Bands and we were on the Horde tour, which is a huge break for a small band like us. When I got back to my house in Northfield, I specifically just, I stripped down to my underwear, I grabbed a beer, and I just ran around my house just screaming, this is it, man. This is I just won the rock and roll lottery. It's one of the single greatest moments of my life. And I distinctively remember everything about it.
So let's talk about your fan base, because just from reading it, it sounds like you have built, and you guys call it a family. And I was just wondering how you went about building your fan base, and what is it that you believe that they see in your band that they love so much?
There's a couple things that's important to this concept of family. And number one, I think the first thing was including some pieces around us of people who weren't music industry professionals, but they were incredibly enthusiastic, talented, and really diligent about what they did. Say, for a great example was Paul Hagen, our first manager, first and best manager, great manager. He's a fan, he was a taper, and this guy would say when we started our weekly gig at the Caboose in 1996, which was another huge victory for us to land the Caboose every Wednesday.
So you were the house band at the Caboose, is that essentially what it was?
Yeah, so from 96 through 99, we were the house band at the Caboose every Wednesday. The big example would be Paul Hagen would tape the shows, he would go get them printed up, multiple copies, and at that show, if you wanted to get a copy of the show on tape, it would be delivered next week at the show on nice Maxell tapes, not cheap tapes, with nice printing and everything. And he'd do it for the cost of the printing itself. There's no profit whatsoever involved. So you like the show, you pay $3 to come back next week, there's your tapes. Put them in your pocket, do whatever you like. Now, this is a great way. All we want to do is get the music out, and without, a record contract or anything like that. We did it for the cost of nothing. Fans are happy to pay $3, for two loaded up, Maxell 90s. Basically 3 hours of music on there. $3. This is the great idea, that it brings everybody in. It's not financially, it's not a penalty to them. And what it most importantly does is it gives everybody a little bit of skin in the game. Our first CD, we financed it by saying, hey, if you want to buy your copy ahead of time, guess what? That's the money we're going to use in the recording studio. Fans lined up, man. They gave us the money to do this. And then we richly rewarded them by our CD release party by not having the CDs actually... There was some kind of error in shipping. So we had 800 people waiting for the CDs at the Caboose, no CDs. But that was the idea. Is every step of the way, you get the fans involved, you bring them in like family, and you treat them well.
Ah!
Just listening to the Big Loose performance at the Midwest Music Fest 2013. We now continue with Adam's interview. You're listening to the live feed.
All right, can we talk a little bit about the family reunion and how you guys got that started and what was kind of the basic idea of it?
The family reunion came about when we were recording our second album, Folktales, and there's a song in there called Shantytown, and I had an idea that I wanted the actual song at the end to fade out, but I wanted a chorus of people to be singing the chorus itself. And so I needed 300 people to all sing in unison at the right tempo so we could bleed it into the recording. So as the music fades out, you know, people are still cheering and you know, singing. So the guy that was recording us at the time, his name is Jeff Roberts. He owns a couple factories. And he built the stage, like a full-on live stage in one of his factories. And that's where we would rehearse. And so what we did is we took over his factory for a night. You know, it was like a private rock concert. We sold invitations to the event because I demanded that we have beer. Beer is important. But we didn't have a liquor license to sell beer. So you buy your invitation. Then you can come in and have free beer. You know, because I need a crowd to be well lubricated to pull the. I can't have it sound stiff when they're singing, man. They got to sound right. So that was the idea. So we had the night, we had the venue. We figured as long as we're going this far, you know, we might as well play a few sets, and then we might as well also grab a couple other bands and make, you know, let's kick this off at 6 o'clock at night. You know, it's private party, so it didn't matter when it stopped. There's also some land so people could camp. This is right in Eagan, Minnesota. It's just right outside of Minneapolis. So that was the very first Big Wolf family reunion. That was the theme that the drummer's wife and also band artist Beth Vanderwalker came up with, was the family reunion. So when you came in, because you bought your invitation, we had, you know, you're on a list. So hello, my name is, you know, cousin Jim Wu. You know, second cousin Jim Wu, or you know, whatever, we'd sign different names. So that was the first one. And we didn't intend for it to be a music festival when we started, but it worked really well. So the next year, we moved the show down to Harmony Park, did, you know, 3 days over Memorial Weekend, for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, got in all the bands that, by this time, we had been touring pretty well. We were going to the East Coast, the West Coast. We were playing festivals, you know, really nice festivals, good ones. And what we'd really had noticed is even the good festivals had something that we hated. You know, some of the festivals just have, like, really crappy sound, just terrible sound. Or other festivals, just I thought they treated the bands like dirt. Or the food was horrendous. Or it, you know, it's just there's something. And so when we put together the family reunion as a multi-day music festival in a park, because we're in a band and we've played all the festivals, we could just went down the check line of like, what do we want as a band? And some things that we wanted were, if I was in a band, I would want a really nice paycheck. So we paid all the bands far more than they could get on a Friday night in Minneapolis. I mean, we paid them well. So when they leave, you know, they got a week of touring, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. These are really hard days to make money on the road. This way, they had money. So we could get the disco biscuits, you know, in from the East Coast. We could pull bands in from East, West Coast because they were rewarded.
One more question here. I'm just curious, since you have been doing this for so long and kind of reached almost the peak, I mean, just from what I hear, the peak of your, you know, performance and where you want your band to be, how have you changed from the beginning till right now? What is the difference? What have you learned?
The biggest difference, you know, it's always the ingredients in the soup. When Jason Flatiger left the band back in 2002, you know, that's a major ingredient out of the soup. You know, that changes the entire recipe right there. You know, and we did a few years as a four-piece. Getting Mark Grundhofer in the band to fill in that second guitar spot. Once again, we've changed the recipe, but what we've included is, it's hard to put into words because he's such a good guitar player. He's an amazing singer. He's a great songwriter. And he's also an incredible businessman. He, you know, he manages the band. He books the band. He books and manages many, many, many bands. So where we're sitting at now, I can't imagine the Big Wolf in a better place right now. I mean, we've got new, brand new really good music coming out. This is a long time coming. And there had been days where I was wondering, like, is there ever going to be new music, man? Will it be good when it comes out? I mean, this is legitimate questions. Yeah, I'm not 20 anymore. And just think if you write any song, like, it's our song, it's great, you know, because we finished it. It's like, we're old enough now to know the difference, you know, between the crud, you know, and the gold. And I'm really excited, you know, when I look at the recipe that we're cooking with now. I'm very excited about the band. We're all looking forward to making another album. It's been several years coming. We just turned 21 years old as a band. I can tell you that I'm going to be doing this in 10 years from now. And we're going to be doing it well. It's a nice feeling, man. You know, it's a really nice feeling.
Is there anything else you want to add, and anything about, like, websites or anything like that where we can contact you or get music?
We are very excited that soon we will be reopening thebigwood.com. We've got an all new redesigned website, but we got a really cool new mercantile that's coming up with great t-shirts. And the only reason why I bring it up is because I need lunch money. No, it is. We decided that we can't decide what t-shirts need to look like for anybody. So we finally found a way, and we found a willing partner that you can go on, you can pick from multiple designs of what you want in a t-shirt, then pick the color of the t-shirt, yada, yada, yada. It all comes to you custom, your size, your color. Bada boom, bada bing.
All right, well, once again, thank you for talking with me.
All right, man. Cheers.
Sorry. Look who just walked in the door. thoughts of evergreen, and you rode a loaded greyhound through the night. Bright like the moon as that Minnesota moon was shining bright.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.